care this open season.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Scott Lewis. Scott is the CEO of PSP?
Yes, it is. PS Partnerships, correct.
PS Partnerships. Give us your website real quick, because I want people to sign up for your newsletter.
PS, like public sector. PS and the word partnerships, plural with an S at the end, .com.
PSPartnerships.com. And they can sign up for your newsletter right there, right?
Sure can.
All right. Scott is an expert in... Scott's been around the market probably as long as me, and we won't get into length or time in grade. But he helps companies partner with prime contractors, and his newsletter is truly an occasional treasure trove of neat stuff. It's not one of those daily things, but when you get it, you got to read it. So, Scott, starting with that, give us a little background on who you are and what you do.
Yeah, most of my career I've been involved in some way, shape, or form of sort of connecting the systems integrator community with potential partners to help them more effectively win business or more effectively develop unique solutions that might win or improve processes within government. But the systems integrators are not really my clients. It's the companies that want to connect to them. And there's a variety, you know, there's product companies and very well-known names out there that have a challenge in connecting with the systems integrators. There's product firms, large, mid-sized, small. And then there's also the systems integrators that are small, disadvantaged type firms that believe for their growth they're going to have to team and be a subcontract with the SIs. So that's where I've focused most of my time. So I walk the halls of the integrators, so to speak.
So to speak. But, you know, the important thing is they know who you are. You have access to them. And this is not a common trait.
Yeah, it's. I'm trying to do the due diligence, so I'm not wasting anybody's time. I want to make sure if I'm going to set up a meeting, if the integrators are kind enough to give me time with my client, that it's going to be a valuable conversation. So I think most of them understand that I'm going to do my homework before I try to bug them and set up a time. Usually the meeting should probably have some value for both parties. That's the hard part, is doing the due diligence to see if it makes business sense to come together, either around an opportunity that's coming out or whether it's going to improve the way an SI might develop a solution.
Cool. All right. Let's talk about some of the hot topics and potentially some of the vehicles for them coming down the pike. I know you have a significant interest in healthcare.
Yeah, healthcare. With healthcare reform, they're starting to get a lot more traction now. It's not just electronic records is where sort of a lot of the businesses or the eyeballs have been going to. But when you look at healthcare, you can look at NIH and all the research that they do. That's not necessarily clinical, but it is research around healthcare. You have VA, which is sort of redoing a lot of their data centers and data center consolidation. You have military health, but you also now have an opportunity coming out of the Office of Personnel Management, the OPM. They are now tasked to develop and do analytics around government employee healthcare to understand the cost and the outcome. And so that's a whole different agency that you probably wouldn't even consider around healthcare, but it's a true opportunity that's coming out soon.
Well, the only time I remember them or see them doing anything is like open season when you're picking your health plan.
That's about it. But sort of like how IRS is getting involved in healthcare, this is a new effort on OPM. So the opportunity now to do analytics around all the related data of coverage, the care and the cost is a real priority now. And it's a priority in the commercial space, and they've been doing that for a while, and the insurance firms are doing that. But now government needs to get into it and do the analytics so they can understand the cost. But also, if I'm going to go out and get these types of services to improve my health, what's the outcome? So that's a whole new opportunity. I think it's a unique opportunity that's starting to bubble now. cool. out there. And there are a lot of analytical tools out there that are being used, let's say, to find bad guys in DHS. But some of those tools now are being transferred into the healthcare arena, which I find pretty interesting.
Okay. Any other specific hot topics you feel are worthy of discussing at this point?
Yeah, from a technology side, virtualizing the desktop is becoming really popular now in agencies. VA has an opportunity on the street to do that. Basically, what that means is there's a lot of cost and energy associated with maintaining your desktop. As boring as that might sound, it's been a windfall for a lot of the SIs because they're putting bodies to run from desk to desk to desk. Now all the applications are being kept at the server, and it's sort of like cable TV. Those shows are not on your cable box. They're back at, you know, the main area where they push it to you. So the device becomes somewhat irrelevant. It's pushing the application out to the device, and that's now being managed at the data center instead of running around to each desktop. But now with telework being approved, this is going to be another large opportunity because the agencies are now going to have to be able to deliver an application to a desktop at somebody's home without putting it on the desktop. So for security reasons and access reasons, this is now becoming a very large opportunity, I think. And it's given a lot of new players in the game now, too. You're starting to see not just VMware and not just Citrix, but now you're finding, you know, other companies now trying to get involved in that dynamic desktop solution now. And the integrators are going to have to deliver that. So they're looking for strong partners in that, too.
Well, yeah, you have Mr. Chambers' companies, not insignificant in that particular arena as well.
So. Yeah, Quest Software, Quest, not QW.
Yeah.
They're in the desktop virtualization now. And there's a lot of security devices around that now. So everything's being virtualized, but it is a huge ROI for government. It is an upfront investment, but it just reduces cost tremendously over time and not having to manage a desktop.
Well, that and it enhances the ability to do telework, which is very, very green.
Yeah, you got it. And with all the mobile devices now, everybody wants an application delivered to their mobile device, and that's a whole another world of opportunity.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about, you know, all of the news that's out there regarding the government market that's you know, at least semi positive revolves around, you know, you pick up WashTech or you pick up any of the trade pubs and it kind of blithely refers to, all right, these contracts are coming down the pike. You know, the Washington Tech top 20 contracts to watch in 2011. Great article, but it, you know. Small businesses look at this, they start salivating, and they figure, you know, I better get on one of these teams. let's start the process of how a company really needs to target a vehicle and then get on it.
Right. Well, we're talking two types of businesses. We're talking product firms, and we're talking the services firms, which get you into most of what the 8As and the disadvantaged firms do for a living. Most of those types of firms are just a very teeny Lockheed Martin, basically. And you're starting to see Input has been doing these. Deltek did a few. Now Deltek has bought Input. And then Federal Source is also doing these. But they actually will pick one of these top 20 programs. And what I like about it is if you don't understand the program and you're a small business, you can spend the first hour of this event getting a breakdown of what this procurement's all about and what are the requirements and what are the needs within this thing, how effective will this contract be, who's going to buy off of it. And then the prime contractors, well, not all, but a lot of them are there behind a tiny desk that are looking to bid this thing. And of the 200 people showing up, you sign up for 8 minutes to be able to speak to the SIs that are likely to bid and present your value proposition to them. This is where the problem lies, is most of the companies, whether you're a product or whether you're services, have not done much of a due diligence to understand the program, to understand the requirements, so they can speak intelligently to the bidding primes as to what my value will be to this requirement under this program, and this is why we should have a long discussion as to how I could help you develop a unique solution around this thing. help you win and help you manage the contract.
Yeah, my new book comes out actually next week or the week that this will air. But I spend a fair amount of time in there talking about something very similar, and that's how small businesses go into an OSDBU or an SDBC, a small business development center, or even to a small business liaison officer and an integrator, and they lead with their social economic status.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with this picture?
It's not. There's 1,000 of you already out there. It's just like you, identical to you. Been doing the same kind of things that you've been doing for the same length of time. To be able to separate yourself from the pack and to have some unique value, but you got to connect the unique value to a program. There is a program that you're going to bid on. There's a requirement of X. I'm very strong at filling that requirement. And at the same time, I'm able to allow you to check the box of having a STB on your team. But I know you already have 1,000 of these guys in your database. You've already been working with 500 of them. But let me tell you why I can be of value to this program.
Cool.
That's what's missed usually.
Okay. We'll get into this in depth in the next segment. My guest today is Scott Lewis. Scott is the CEO of PS Partnerships. You can find him at pspartnerships.com. Sign up for the newsletter while you're there. When we come back, we're going to take a deeper dive into how small companies need to differentiate and will migrate into then how do you really approach an SI. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Here's Jack Wilmer, Technical Director, Global Information Grid Enterprise Services at DISA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Government Cloud Computing, sponsored by Red Hat.
We have an overarching concept coined enterprise user, and the idea of that is that we want to be able to allow you to go in, go anywhere, log in, and be productive. Mm-hmm. So we focused on some security perspectives of that, some other underlying core infrastructure.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Cloud computing is one of the most important shifts in IT to occur in decades. Red Hat is proud to be a leader in delivering the infrastructure your agency needs for reliable, agile, cost-effective cloud computing. And it's all based on open source and open standards. That means your agency will save money with a foundation of highly secure systems built for scaling. Learn more at redhat.com/cloud. That's redhat.com/cloud.
20,000 feet over Kandahar, fuel running low, ground troops need air support. The solution? EADS North America's KC-45 aerial refueling tanker. Offering the most range, fuel, and payload, it's the only tanker in the Air Force competition that's flying now when our troops need it. EADS North America will put 48,000 Americans to work building the KC-45 in the U.S. Proven capability, ready now. EADS North America's KC-45. See it at kc45now.com.
Paid for by EADS North America.
Hey Eagles fans, tickets to all American University men's and women's basketball home games in Bender Arena are on sale now. Get them online 24/7 at AUEagles.com or by calling the Athletics Ticket Office at 202-885-TIXX. That's 202-885-TIX. Make your plans now to be part of another historic season in Bender Arena.
Catch the Eagles' next home game Monday, January 3rd against Brown University at 7:30 p.m.
For over 40 years, Mantech employees have been solving complex problems for the national security community. Whether they're providing secure satellite communications to the Department of Defense or investigating threats in cyberspace for intelligence agencies, their work is distinguished by high ethical standards and a deep commitment to their customers' success. They've created a culture that encourages individuals to bring innovative ideas and technology to those charged with protecting the homeland. Due to the high demand for Mantech skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals. Security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. In 2010, Mantech was selected for Fortune Magazine's 100 Fastest Growing Companies list, named a top 10 best employer for veterans by Military Times Edge Magazine, and for the fourth year in a row, was selected as a top 10 military-friendly employer by GI Jobs Magazine. Apply for openings today at mantech.com/careers. That's mantech.com/careers. Mantech is an equal opportunity employer.
Looking for usable news and information that helps you do your job? Tune into In-Depth with Francis Rose every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Francis explores the relationship between agencies and Congress by taking you to the hearing rooms on Capitol Hill and asking questions of federal decision makers and experts. You'll get a firsthand look at how Congress affects your agency's personnel, funding, and oversight. In-Depth also looks at the relationship between agencies and contractors. Companies that do billions of dollars of business with the federal government talk about the work they're doing for agencies, the work they're bidding on, and the work they didn't get. And In-Depth will help you be a better manager. Francis talks to authors, scholars, and managerial experts about managing projects, managing your workforce, and managing yourself. In-Depth with Francis Rose, every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Scott Lewis of PS Partnerships. You can find Scott at pspartnerships.com. That's a plural partnerships. Publicsectorpartnerships.com. Scott, let's talk about, without naming companies, give us an example or two of how some small businesses have legitimately differentiated themselves. Use your clients, because I know you've done well by these folks.
Yeah, again, there's product and there's services. Let's kind of stick with the 8A services type companies, which is really much harder than having a product and trying to connect to the SIs. The ones that seem to effectively inch forward in dealing with the SIs, two things. They'll have somebody on their staff or bring somebody in to really shake it up so that they can be specific in what they do, as opposed to I do everything. To determine what market segment they should be approaching, whether it's healthcare, security, public safety, what are the niches that you can speak to, and what services are you bringing to the table that add strong value. So going through that due diligence and sticking to it, and creating value propositions around that, that's an upfront investment. Someone needs to lead them to do that. And if they can't go through that process, they're probably not going to get very far. And then from that, you're focusing on agencies that need that type of work. You're understanding those agencies, and hopefully you're having some connection and discussions with them so that you understand the agency. So when you speak to the integrator that's going to chase that agency, you're adding some value because you have some relationships and understanding of the agency. The next step also is trying to identify opportunities. What programs are going to be hitting the street, or what existing contracts are out there? But what's going to be hitting the street over the next 12 months that you have time to work on, that you can discuss with the agency, but also determine who's bidding, and then put together a value proposition around the agency and around that program, and approach any SIs that are likely to be involved in that agency. And a lot of this is public available data. I mean, you could be connected to input or Fed sources, but it's pretty easy to understand who are the top integrators in a government agency. It's, around certain SIC codes or NAS codes. It's just not that difficult to figure that out.
Or you can go back to Wash Tech, where you did some time, by the way, and look at the top 100 list, and in the description of the top 100, usually listed not only the contracts, but right. The agencies. Hello.
Right. It's basic 101 research, really, in trying to identify this information I just spewed out for you. But by doing some due diligence, you can understand where the program's coming out, the top integrators in that agency, and if you understand the program, if you've done some work around that opportunity, you should be able to talk to it and speak to it. Right there should give you a tremendous advantage from a lot of other the 8As that just knock on the door, talk about how they're an 8A, and this is what I do for a living. Now, can you help me? And that's typically what happens.
Add me to the contract. Let me back up a second, because you referenced a couple of times during that description, over the next 12 months, over the next 18 months. As a contract or a need starts to emerge in an agency, we know the process is fairly long. If a company hears about this early on and there are no formal teams yet assembled, how long is the process? What window are small companies looking at to follow a vehicle?
A long time. If you talk to most, there's a woman at CSC, I'll give her a name, Tina Jordan, who does a really nice job of getting up and speaking to the community about how they do business. And usually those things, mostly when the SIs get on the stage and do that, it's really not accurate. They're not honest with you on how to do business. They're just not. But Tina does a great job of being a realist on this. And she'll tell you that probably 90 days before the RFP comes out, their team is formed, period, boom. So that tells you that you're probably dealing a year before the RFP comes out and trying to position yourself on this program.
And then after the RFP comes out, we're dealing with how long?
RFP comes out, you got to respond in 30 days. It might be awarded in 5-6 months. Then the award goes out, and then it's another 6 months just to get yourself together to start performing on the contract.
So it's 2 years before yeah, if you're one of the lucky ones on the contract that receives revenue.
Right.
So
that's the reality of it.
24-month window.
If these small businesses want to grow, and if they believe that their growth is tied to being a subcontractor, that's your investment. There's no way of getting around it.
You know, we say 12 to 24 months to revenue, and, you know, how many companies have you dealt with that 3 months later they're going, but Scott, we haven't got anything yet?
They wouldn't be my client.
Not anymore.
No, it wouldn't be in the first place, because if they just don't understand it, I'm not going to help them.
But
we're all going to look like we're failing.
Let's go back to when you were the publisher at Washington Technology, and you'd be pitching companies out there, and you'd have to say, I know you said the same thing. It takes, you know, 2 years to see any money here.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody says, okay, well, we're going to start some ads with you because we want to get in front of the integrators.
Right.
And 3 months later, they call and say, well, nobody's called us yet.
Yeah. Well, that's even a much harder market. Kind of digressing here for a minute. But when you're pitching a company, let's just say they're based out of California, you're talking to a VP of marketing who doesn't even understand government, let alone what a systems integrator is, and you're talking to them about investing money in a marketing campaign to companies that aren't going to buy your stuff in the first place. You know, Lockheed Martin's not going to buy your stuff. What you're trying to do is communicate to them your value into teaming with them to solve problems in government. And for someone who holds a marketing budget, that's kind of hard for them to swallow. They don't understand it. But there are companies that do get it, and they do have a strategy, and the strategy is multi-tiered, and a piece of that is trying to get some message out to the marketplace that you add value to an integrator. And so the advertising and the marketing around that is just one small piece of the overall strategy, you know, and a lot of the investment will come into finding a way to network and meet these people to explain the value, not just putting an ad or a banner on a website.
Okay. You used a phrase there that's going to become extremely important in the rest of our conversation. You said, as you meet people. Start off with a little bit here to end this segment on the value of relationships in this market.
Well, there's just no way of getting around. It's like... you know, go back when you're looking for a job, when you're out of college looking for your first job. How do you probably get that first job? It's some relationship. It's through somebody that knows you. It's through a friend of your parents. And that's still true in the business world and government, is building those relationships so you're able to get in the door. With the SI community, it's very difficult. There's not too many events out there or networking opportunities that are structured just for the SI. There's thousands to get government in the room, but there's very few that get the SIs in the room. And if you don't know where to start, you start usually typically with associations like AFSCEA, for example. Most of their memberships are systems integrators, and most of them have, and a lot of what AFSCEA does is tied to DOD. So there's a Maryland chapter, there's a D.C. chapter, there's a Virginia chapter, and then they do a lot of national things, too. So that would be one avenue.
There's chapters of AFSCEA everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, that would be an avenue to take a look at what they're doing, what subject matter is around what they're doing. And it's fairly inexpensive to get involved and to attend those things. But there's that. There's IAC, which is another organization which has usually monthly breakfast meetings and two major events a year. That's a little more pricey to become a member of that.
It's pricey, but they do have the integrated community.
Yeah, they do. And they have a lot of special interest group committees. So if you want to really invest some time, they have a small business committee, they have a security committee, they have, I don't know, they probably have 10 different committees. And it's not a lot of time, but they do meet monthly. and they'll partner with government to put out white papers on issues and things. So it's not a bad way to invest to get connected to the community and get connected to some of the government folks that are also on some of these committees, too.
Cool.
And then there's small breakfast meetings that Input Sources puts on. Hold that thought a minute.
We'll get into the smaller venues in just a moment. My guest today is Scott Lewis. Scott is the CEO of PS Partnerships. You can find him at pspartnerships.com. When we come back, we are going to talk about the other venues that that allow for networking, and hopefully with some fruition here. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Just getting ready for the holidays.
Same here. You headed out of town?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, do you worry about the house?
No, not since we got home monitoring from Ackerman Security Systems.
Ackerman?
That's right. Not only is it one of the largest security companies in the country with more than 40 years' experience, but get this, when you switch to Ackerman, you pay just $18.95 a month.
$18.95. What's the catch?
No catch. There's also no cost to switch, and you can use your existing equipment. With Ackerman, we know the house is safe, even if the neighborhood is cleared out for the holidays.
Whether you want a new system with the latest technology or you want to switch to reliable monitoring for just $18.95 a month, call 1-888-999-1070. That's 1-888-999-1070. Or visit AckermanSecurity.com. Join the more than 180,000 people who enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. And as an added bonus for federal employees, when you make the switch, the first 4 months of your home monitoring service are free.
The underlying battle is trying to lay out the framework for how we're going to deliver services over the internet without saturating the backbone, and do it in a way that you don't censor the internet, which is what net neutrality is getting at, but simply try to moderate bandwidth in a way which is fair.
Stay up to date with technology. It's Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com, or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates, if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington.
Federal News Radio is now broadcasting with 50,000 watts to the entire Washington metro area on 1500 AM. Federal News Radio 1500 AM is the only radio station in Washington, D.C. dedicated to serving the federal decision maker. Federal News Radio's mission is to untangle the complex world of the business of government and build a sense of federal community by interviewing federal policymakers and government contractors one-on-one to explain in their own words how their news affects federal agencies. Federal News Radio, now only on 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Scott Lewis of PS Partnerships, and you can find Scott at pspartnerships.com. Scott, let's talk about some of the smaller venues where companies can go and start to meet, you know, other small companies, hopefully some integrators, hopefully the right people from the integrators.
Yep, there's a lot of little events, a whole lot, and I can't go to them all, so I can't say if they're good or bad. One in particular that I did go to that I found interesting is a woman out of D.C. who has a small company that does GSA schedules.
Jennifer Schaus.
There we go. Yeah. And she holds it the third Thursday. I'm sure you got to be invited. So just showing up.
But
the third Thursday of every month at the Kennedy Center. Usually that Thursday, there's some live entertainment there too, which is kind of nice. But she holds a little cocktail reception, and it's about 30 people maybe. But usually, and I met a lot from out of the country, very unique firms from all types of backgrounds there, networking, trying to have discussions about the government market. And they trade war stories, and they trade ideas and suggestions or people that they should be talking to help them grow their business. But it was very relaxed. Nobody was selling anything, and I found it really a good conversation. Mark Biznow. Having events left and right. Have not been to those, but I get invited. They have them almost every week, networking events. I don't know if they're government, always government-focused. They're business-focused, but I think a lot of the attendees are probably from the government technology world, too.
He's been having a lot of speakers from the government.
Yeah, he's even doing, I think you're partnering with Fed Sources on sort of a government overview.
Mm-hmm.
But they're usually low-cost things, well-marketed. Again, I can't get to everything. But I've had some conversations with that group over there, and they're very aggressive, and a lot of young people running this thing, and a lot of energy.
Mark Biznow has been around this market for a long time.
Yeah.
I met him back in the early 90s when he was working at MicroStrategy, and he actually, one of the inspirations for my show was when I saw him broadcasting his show back then from the dining room Tower Club. So,
that's right.
Yeah, you know, it was a blast.
Yeah. But he's hired some folks from GW, a lot of energy, just a lot of energy, and they're doing a lot of good things. He's opening up, as you probably know, he's opening up this business now geographically. Businesses from L.A. and Boston, and so it's got a nice little business.
I provided them a list of the federal hub cities a few weeks back. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of that. You can be looking at the event calendar that's on Washington Technology, the event calendar that Input has in Fed Sources, if you kind of keep track of some of that stuff and sign up for the e-letters that some of these guys are doing. You can pretty much get connected into who's doing what.
Well, you got govevents.com now, too, Kerry Ray's company that's, you post your stuff for free. It's very cool. And if you're on LinkedIn in any of the government groups, you can see Jennifer's stuff. You can see Kerry's listings. There's, I encourage people to post events in my groups on LinkedIn because that's where we network.
Yeah, I try to each year I'll do an e-letter of events that seem to get the SIs to attend, and I probably have it on my website. Probably needs to be updated, but I try to do one every year that outlines the big guys, like the FC, is all the way down to some of the smaller stuff.
Yeah.
And some of the things that they can do to pay money to be involved with or be a sponsor.
Right.
Talk about
we did mention AFSCIA and IACA. We'd be remiss not to mention Tech America and Professional Services Council.
Yep, both of those.
Not that these are the only ones out there, but they're really the biggies.
They are the biggies, and they are a little pricey if you're a small business, but they are out there.
Yeah, but you talk about professional services. I've always been running this thing for several years now, and he's extremely knowledgeable. He does this briefing with Grant Thornton that I try to attend every year. That's just extraordinary. But the PSC events, I've not been, but a lot of my friends go regularly, and they just say, these are some of the most intense informational events out there. Same thing with Olga Gurkovic at Tech America. She's been, Olga is Miss Government, if you will, because if you don't know Olga and you're aspiring to be in the integrated community, you're not there yet.
Yeah, she's a landmark, I'll tell you. But one of the things that I don't know how much time you have until the next break.
We
have
plenty.
I do want to talk about product companies for a minute. We sort of talked about the services 8As and some of the issues that they have to deal with and hurdles to connect to the SIs. Product's a little bit different in doing that. The good news is within the SIs, there are a lot of system architects, engineers, CTOs, And their job really is to understand technology. And if you can connect to a growing area like security, like healthcare, like virtualization, public safety.
Or collaboration, we mentioned.
Collaboration, definitely. There are people who really care about that within the SIs. You got to find out who they are, but there's somebody sitting behind a desk or in a cube, and their job is to understand technologies around, let's just say, security. And it does take some digging, but they're out there, and if you have a strong value prop, the odds are somewhat good that they will, especially if you connect to an upcoming opportunity. The odds are somewhat better than an 8A that does services that they may take the time to talk to you about your technology. And if you can prepare your value prop into that solution set or your value prop to an agency or your value prop to some programs that are going to hit the street, you could get some pretty good traction. They also have labs, Center of Excellence. So if you want to invest and stand up your technology in their lab, they are usually pretty willing to allow you to do that. It's your investment, you know, that you have to do that. CSC has opened up a brand new one down in Huntsville, and they're looking for unique technologies for that touch DOD. So it's a little different on the product side. I think it's a little, I don't say easier, but at least you have more of a direct path to get to somebody that might care.
Okay, it's certainly not easier, because usually when we're talking products, we're not talking the same margins that a service brings to the table.
Yep, it depends on the product, but that margin is going to be probably the same margin either way, whether you're selling it through a reseller or direct or through an SI.
Yeah.
But if you can be connected to a $50 million opportunity and now develop a strong relationship with an SI, you would hope that would be continuing some revenue to you through that relationship.
Does it help a product if they do have a GSE, either their own or a reseller's, and have some traction?
Yep. Typically, you need a contract vehicle. On an existing there's a storage company that I support that probably sells 70% of their technologies through the SIs, but a lot of that is they're in the agency wants it, and they say, look, you got to run it through SAIC, that's my contractor. So you're just running it through an existing contract that an integrator has.
Generally,
there needs to be some contract vehicle to be able to touch to.
Right. When you're dealing with an agency that's not part of the contract, hopefully we're dealing with a GWAC.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And there are, and I'm not promoting IMIX or DLT or Carasoft or all those, but I mean, those are potential partners to put your product on their schedule, and they have schedule, they have GSA schedule, they're probably on SOUP, they're probably on NetSense, they're probably on four or five different vehicles, and they can run it through whatever vehicle the agency wants to run it through.
Right.
As opposed to you having to run around and try to get on all these vehicles.
Each of them has the trifecta of NIH, ECS, the GSA, and SOUP. So, and that's IMIX, Carasoft, and DLT. So they all have the, what Max Peterson deemed the trifecta of contracts for the product companies.
Yep.
My guest today is Scott Lewis. Scott is the CEO of PS Partnerships. When we come back, we're going to wrap up on a number of issues that small companies have to do if they're going to get on the radar of SIs and then bring it to fruition by becoming a team member. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Here's Christina Morrison, Manager Government Marketing, HP Personal Systems Group, on the Federal Teleworking Panel, sponsored by FedsTelework.com, HP, Intel, and Microsoft.
The IT that has happened in the last six, even two or three years with the embrace of social media out there, IT is here, and the capabilities to implement telework, whether you're at the federal level, state and local level, or in the private sector, it's here, and it does provide benefits not only to employees, but productivity as well.
If you haven't heard, the 2010 Telework Enhancement Act passed recently. FedScoop's Feds Telework recent panel discussion can give you the information you need to implement an effective telework program within your agency. Go to FedsTelework.com to view videos from top Fed execs, read more on telework resources, and be social with Feds Telework. Find telework solutions for security, mobility, and productivity from HP, Intel, and Microsoft. Work is something you do, not somewhere you go. Learn about the future of telework at FedsTelework.com.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by ARINC.
Iran says nuclear issues are not even up for discussion during its meeting with major powers in Geneva today, so it's not clear how productive the first talks of this kind in a year will be. But even if Iran and the five permanent members of the UN Security Council plus Germany do agree to meet again, experts say they may be long in terms of process and pomp and circumstance, but short on productivity. I'm J.J. Green.
Can you imagine the frustration of trying to repair a $1 million piece of equipment, only to discover the part you need cannot be found anywhere because the manufacturer no longer exists? At Airink, they have the ability to recreate the most complicated part down to its smallest component, keeping that expensive piece of equipment running as if it was brand new. For more information, log on to www.arinc.com.
Connect with more than 800 fellow contract management professionals. The Government Contract Management Conference is a must-attend on December 9th and 10th. The National Contract Management Association presents more than 20 educational sessions to answer the most complex questions, plus prominent speakers from CACI, the Department of Defense, the Boeing Company, and more. To learn more, visit ncmahq.org today.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris on The Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Scott Lewis of PS Partnerships. You can find them at pspartnershipsplural.com. And we are talking about what businesses, and we're saying small business, but it's any company novice to the market. Doesn't matter if you're small, medium, large. If you're novice to the market, there's certain things you have to do to get on the team. So Scott, let's do a little recap and maybe flesh out a few ideas here. Start with the company focus.
Yeah, I would, if I was getting in this business, I would really try to focus in one or two areas, not much more than that. And I'd probably want to bring in a third party, someone who hasn't been sitting with me for the past 5 years, somebody fresh to come in and help structure what are the two or three solution areas that we should be able to focus on, tell a strong value prop around, support, invest in, as opposed to be able to do anything anywhere.
Okay, now when you say bring in somebody from the outside, are you talking about hiring somebody or are you talking about using a consultant?
Well, it could be somebody that you know in the market space that's very strong. Some of the types of people that might sit on, be board members out there. There's a lot of senior people that are smart at this. It could be an outside person from a marketing communications firm that's strong in developing value propositions. But somebody who understands the market and understands how to develop value propositions around market components.
Okay.
Would be good.
Let's talk a minute then about how, if you're totally new to the market and you have no relationships here, how do you identify people and then how do you vet them?
Well, if I kind of continue with the theme, if I have now agreed upon one or two market solutions that I believe I can take to market, then the question is, okay, what agencies would likely care about that or have that type of need? And that's public available data. I think a lot of it's common sense, too. Then determining who are the systems integrators that support that agency. So now you have your message, your value prop into the areas that I can support. Here are the agencies that make sense for me to support, and here are the integrators that are going to support those agencies. Now you have some kind of a roadmap to put a marketing and or business development plan to. You have a road now. You have a direction of where to go with this message. And you have some direction of who you should be talking to and be able to speak to the problems within that, these agencies that are likely to spend money to fix a particular business problem.
Okay. Now, so we're that far. We've identified a number of things. How do we go out there and start meeting people?
Well, if you have identified the agencies, and by the way, identified opportunities and programs that will be coming out over the next 12 to 24 months,
right?
You should now understand who are the likely systems integrators. Now, with public available data, you can find the big, large, mega integrators that are supporting it, like Lockheed Martin, which is probably one of the hardest integrators to get into. But you can also see who are the other 8As doing business, the other small businesses, disadvantaged. You can also see who are some of the mid-sized companies that are out there that may make more sense for you to talk to than the big SIs, because the mid-sized integrators that aren't 8As anymore, they may be $100 million or something, but they have to compete against the large integrators. And they could very well might be more open to having a unique partner on some of their teams. So it's not always just the mega SIs that you might want to be talking to. But through their websites, through their small business liaison officer, you should be able to start some communication. You should be able to identify points of contact. And a lot of the websites will tell you who manages DOD or who manages Army or what have you. Not always, but a lot of them do. And it does give you a starting point to approach to see if they'll take time to meet with you. At the same time, you have the FC events, you have the IAC events, you had Northern Virginia Technology Council, Maryland Technology Councils. These are places that you can go to start networking, shaking hands. We mentioned the every Thursday event at the Kennedy Center, BizNow events. But if you want, you really should be investing some time and energy to pick some of these things and get out in the marketplace and start talking to folks.
Right, and every Wednesday, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this, the American Small Business Coalition hosts a business over breakfast at the Tower Club that
Perfect.
Runs from like 7:30 to 9 every Wednesday morning. They host these regionally as well, Manassas, Frederick, occasionally Columbia. So it's on both sides of the river. Good networking, and they try to get in the integrators as well, but you're usually networking with other small businesses.
Now you'd be surprised, well, maybe you're not surprised, you wouldn't be surprised, but a lot of people would be surprised how other companies will give you suggestions, give you emails and contacts of who they've been doing business with. Just amazing how someone will say, let me introduce you to so-and-so. It happens all the time.
Well, you and I have been doing this for years, so it's second nature to us because it's who we are, it's what we do. It's part of being in the market.
Yeah.
You know, we do it in a somewhat different way for our clients. But, you know, I would be surprised if several times a week you don't just do that as a matter of course.
Oh, it happens all the time. It all comes back around, too.
Yeah.
Somebody's willing to help me out.
Right. And if you don't do it, that comes back around, too.
That's true. But it is amazing how if you're in an environment, and you should send out somebody on your team that's very outgoing, that's willing to walk around and speak and just
don't send the
jump
techie.
Right in.
Don't send the techie.
It's just whoever, just if you're shy, don't go. You got just pick somebody on your team that's very outgoing, no matter who it is, and can articulate your value proposition and what you're trying to accomplish in the market. And ask the question, who do you know that could probably connect me to? Who do you know that's doing a lot of work at VA? Who do you know that's doing a lot of public safety work?
Well, you know, this
a simple question.
This happens when we're in groups physically, but it also happens in a lot of the groups that I'm on LinkedIn.
There you go.
You know, I have 3,200 connections now, almost exclusively in the government market. I'm in a lot of groups, most of them facing the government market, and some of the discussions in those groups are just extraordinarily helpful, and the research you can get out of there is just great.
Yep, and there's a couple alliance and channel-type groups up there, too, that talk about developing, it's probably more for product companies, but helping them develop and get their channel strategy put together.
Yep. Yeah, and if you're a pure product company, channel strategy is incredibly important. Do you help companies there, too?
Yep.
Bingo.
Yep, it's mostly around the SI, but yeah, there are, usually it's the unique channel. You know, I'm looking for a channel partner that focuses strictly in the Intel community or something like that, as opposed to I just want another CDWG or GTSI or whatever.
Well, yeah, if you have, you know, toner cartridges.
Yeah. well, that's it. You know, commodity versus
a unique product.
Yeah, it's commodity. That's a whole hour conversation.
It is, but it's not what we're talking about here. The commodity play is simply that, and it doesn't require the same types of relationships that a higher end product or service requires.
Yeah, yeah. But you said earlier it's investing. Do I want to put some money and a lot of time and effort in hopes of seeing some return in 24 months from now? At best. That's the big decision. If you can't do that, then forget about it. It's just, you can inch along and you might get lucky, but it's got to be a true business decision. And you got to put a plan together and stick to it.
And that's where we're going to wrap this up, because I think it's important to wrap on the time frame. If you're coming into the market, you haven't been here before, 24 months is a very realistic time frame if you do everything that Scott's talked about this past hour.
Very good.
Scott, thanks so much for joining me today.
Anytime.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Scott Lewis at PS Partnerships. He's the CEO. You can find him at pspartnerships.com. This is not my day job. I consult like Scott, but check out my new book, Selling to the Government. It is out now. You can get it at Amazon in a week or so. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. Remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off center with AmTower.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
This week on Agency of the Month featuring the GSA is brought to you by Commercial Data Systems.
The GSA Federal Acquisition Service is charting a new course with a little help from Star Trek. Steve Kempf leads FAS.
It began with that famous monologue, Space, the Final Frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. And today, in the Federal Acquisition Service, we have some opportunities to boldly go where our organization has not gone before.
I'm Ruben Gomez.
Commercial Data Systems is a small disadvantaged information technology systems integrator specializing in virtualization, cross-domain security, and database operations. With more than 25 years of contracting experience, CDS understands how to ease the procurement process for government clients. CDS offers GSA schedule purchasing with over 200,000 commercial off-the-shelf IT products, including a blanket purchase agreement for your Oracle hardware and software needs. To learn more, visit CDSinc.com. That's CDSinc.com.
In today's shrinking economy, one industry is growing rapidly: cybersecurity. As cyber threats continue to increase, so do new job opportunities in both the public and private sectors. The Center for Cybersecurity Training at UMBC Training Centers is preparing the new cyber workforce to fill the jobs and meet the growing need. Here, individuals and organizations receive the knowledge, skills, and certifications required to protect our nation's vital networks, systems, public infrastructure, and information. UMBC Training Centers offers flexible class schedules and locations in Maryland and Virginia. And as one of America's recognized leaders in professional, scientific, and technical education and training, we offer advanced programs that are second to none. Cybersecurity jobs are here, and more are coming. Get trained for them now at the Center for Cybersecurity Training at UMBC Training Centers. Visit cyber.umbctrainingcenters.com. Go to cyber.umbctrainingcenters.com and register for a free webinar today.
Leading the way to better vision, United Healthcare Vision understands the importance of good eyesight for you and your family. That's why their vision programs offer federal enrollees and their families a convenient mix of independent and retail providers and industry-leading benefits for glasses, contacts, and discounts on LASIK procedures. United Healthcare Vision is the clear choice. In fact, 9 out of 10 United Healthcare Vision Fed VIP members would recommend their plan to family and friends. The Fed VIP open season period for federal employees and retirees runs through December 13th. Don't miss out on this opportunity to protect your most precious gift, the gift of sight. For more information about their benefit plans and how to enroll, visit United Healthcare Vision at myuhcvision.com/fedvip. That's myuhcvision.com/fedvip. If you want industry-leading vision,